Father, the songs are perfect. God of angel armies. And we know from Revelation that Satan got one third, but you kept two thirds. So like Elisha said, there's more who is with us than is with the others. Or greater is he who is in us, who's in the world. Thank you that we're surrounded by your spirit, your angels, your presence. And like Isaiah said, one day every knee will bow and every tongue will confess, but we confess now, Jesus is Lord. In Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen, amen. Turn with me to Ephesians chapter 6. It's page 1824 in your pew Bibles if you need help. Ephesians chapter 6, page 1824. Looking at slowing down. John Ortberg, neat pastor, was teaching pastor at Willow Creek back in the late 1990s. I mean, biggest church in America, 20-some thousand people. But it was eating his lunch spiritually. His walk with Jesus just, he had so many deadlines, so many projects, so many things to do. And so he called up his friend and mentor, Dallas Willard, who's dead now, but he's probably the most quoted Christian besides C.S. Lewis. And he just told Dallas what he was going through. And Dallas took a long pause, and John Ortberg said, whenever you talk to Dallas Willard, he always took a long pause. He took a long pause and said, you must ruthlessly eliminate hurry from your life. And John Ortberg wrote it down in his journal, thought, oh, that's good. Must ruthlessly eliminate hurry from my life. So Dallas, what else should I do? He said, there was another long pause. There's nothing else you should do. You must ruthlessly eliminate hurry from your life, because hurry is the biggest enemy to the spiritual life today. We're in a spiritual battle. You know that? Satan is after you. He's after your kids. He's after your society. He's after your world. He's a thief, liar, murderer, destroyer. Now, it doesn't mean you need to throw this thing away, but we do need to be aware of the spiritual battle that's raging around it. I mean, this thing is beautiful. I can connect with my family. I can witness and disciple. I can listen to great podcasts. Or I can get so distracted, I have a hard time having my devotions. I can so get connected to this little flat box that I miss my wife who's in 3D right in front of me. We're going to be in a classic passage, Ephesians 6, which is about the spiritual warfare. Let's stand up and read it. Ephesians chapter 6, Apostle Paul, in prison, writes this, starting in verse 10 of chapter 6. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle, our wrestling, is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Therefore, put on the full armor of God, so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground. And after you've done everything to stand, stand! Stand firm then, with the belt of truth buckled around your waist, with the breastplate of righteousness in place, with your feet fitted with the readiness, Isaiah was talking about that, that comes from the gospel of peace. In addition to all this, take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. and pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the saints. Pray also for me that whenever I open my mouth, words may be given me so that I will fearlessly make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I'm an ambassador in chains. Pray that I may declare it fearlessly as I should. And all God's people said, amen. Let's pray. Father, love this passage. You don't pull punches. You tell us that we are in a spiritual war, surrounded by the enemy, but equipped by you. You don't leave us hopeless or helpless, but you leave us armed to the teeth. The victory is Christ, and it can be ours. And thank you so much. Stand. How many times he says that? To pray, and put on the full armor of God. Hallelujah. Helmet of salvation. Breastplate of righteousness. Belt of truth. Shield of faith. And sword of the Spirit. And open up your sword today to us. In Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen. Let's do it. This is God's word. This is God's word. It's God's authority over me. It's God telling me who I am and what I'm to do. I'll read it, obey it, and share it to be close to Jesus and to bring others to Jesus. And take that sword and give your friend a nice tap. Tap. You must ruthlessly eliminate hurry from your life. Hurry is the biggest enemy to our walk with Jesus. First sermon, just do it. The first three sermons here are going to be on, we got to recognize the problem. We got to wake up. We're kind of like frogs in the kettle. Yeah, we know we're too busy. Yeah. But it's starting to become, you know, the new normal. How are you? Fine, just busy. What are we really saying? Fine, just distracted. Fine, just worn out. Fine, just hurried and worried, wired and tired. And I guess that's the way it is. Wake up. Now, is this a new problem? No, Jesus told the story of the banquet. Even back then, people felt like they were too busy. It's a human problem. That's why God says, slow down. One of the Ten Commandments is, take a Sabbath, slow down. Well, yeah, but isn't it worse? Oh, you bet it's worse. Daniel chapter 12 says, in the end times, I think that's where we're living, huh? That knowledge and travel will just increase, explode. Was it all that bad? Yeah. The people missed the banquet because of their busyness, not because they were bad. Jesus told the story of the farmer, and the good seed of the word gets choked out by worry and hurry. And you and I can be so busy, we can walk right past a beaten man and feel okay because we're busy. And then the second sermon, we looked at Martha. You see, even before cell phones, good old Martha didn't have a cell phone, but boy, she had a to-do list. And Jesus says, Martha, Martha, I love you. I know you. Take a breath. You're worried and upset about so many things, but really only one thing's important. Me, love. Mary's chosen the best, and it won't be taken from her. Now today we're going to look at Satan. Ooh, Satan is using this thing. But first, let's dive into Scripture. Paul says, we're wrestling against Satan. Against the devil. The word Satan means adversary. The word devil means accuser or slanderer. Know who your enemy is. He will accuse you to you. He'll accuse your friend, your wife, your spouse. He'll accuse God to you. And he'll tempt you and he'll deceive you. And he is a dragon. And he's not alone. Now, thank you, Lord, Satan can't be everywhere at once, but I think his demons, when you put it all together, are. It says, and they're organized with rulers, authorities, spiritual forces. And where are they? I don't know if you noticed that. It says, in this dark world and in the heavenly places. They are around us and they are above us. We as Christians don't like to think about this. Those who are like in third world countries and or who, they can feel it and they can see it. Now, this is going to be probably hard to hear, but this is like about 25 years ago or so. Janet and I got into a pretty hard argument. And I hung up the phone, and I did not even pray this out loud or say anything. And when I hung up the phone, Lord, when Janet goes riding with horses, if this might be the day, I'm okay. That is murderous. That is bitter. That is angry. It was just a thought. It was just a thought. And I don't think I dwelled on it, didn't think about it. About 5-6 hours later, a lady called who was an intercessor in this church and said, Pastor Ken, I don't know what's going on, but Janet is in extreme danger and it's something to do with the horses. Satan, demons, I don't understand. I don't know whether they can read our minds, but he could at least see the look on my face when I hung up the phone. And I bet you there was some demon before the throne saying, he gave me permission. Today's the day. And the Holy Spirit tapped that dear lady on the shoulder and said, pray, please play. To balance, to counteract, to neutralize that one single thought of mine. Can you imagine what, and this is weird stuff, but in the occult, in the jungles, which doctors get more and more power if everybody starts saying the same thing, chanting the same thing, singing the same thing, boom, boom, boom. And with our videos and music, and we're all thinking the same images all at the same time, think of the power. Who are we wrestling with? Satan and his demons. Where are they? In this dark world and in heavenly places. What are they like? They are dark, evil. They are powerful. They are dark because they hate light. They are evil because they hate good. And they are powerful. Now think about this. This was a new thought for me as I meditate on the scripture this week. Every time an angel shows up in the Bible, what usually happens? Ah! And the angel goes, don't be afraid. Angels use their power to serve us. If a demon really showed up right now, they want to use their power to scare us. Just think about that as we're coming up to Halloween in a month. What spirit is that of? Watching those movies? Stop. Now how? Paul uses two words that are only really found in Ephesians. So it's like, okay, something's going on. He has schemes. Schemes. It's the word we get method from, but he also uses it in chapter 4 where the false teachers use cunning, deceptive trickery. Satan is always scheming. He always has strategies. And sometimes his strategies are up front. 1839, the word photography was invented. 1840, the word pornography was invented. 6 years. That's up front. 2003, Facebook was started. I think Satan said, come here, boys. What can we do with this? Like, dislike, dislike, judge, judge. To friend, this is beautiful. Corey Ten Boom, 60, 70 years ago said, if Satan can't get you sinning, he'll get you busy. Frontal attack, side attack, ambush from behind. 2007, iPhones were invented. 2010, the word selfie. Did a little bit of research on this. If you're over 50, you might take one or two selfies a day. If you're under 30, You might take 6 to 8, spending somewhere around 15 minutes a day. Now, it's not like all selfies are wrong, okay? We did that when we went to Jill's, and we took a selfie of ourselves, you know, with the work. I mean, it's okay. But pretty soon it's like, it becomes all about you. Satan loves it. And I know you had a couple selfies, Rachel. It's schemes, frontal attacks, side attacks, ambush attacks. And then what else does he do? It says we struggle, and I like the King James says we wrestle. The word struggle, there's nothing here I can really take that will work. But it means to shake violently, to push, to throw down. This isn't high school wrestling, folks, where there's a ref and you're wearing a helmet that protects your ears. This isn't even cage fighting where you can tap out. This is a fight to the death. No holds barred. No ref. Except Jesus, amen. And you know what they did when they wrestled? They slathered themselves with oil, olive oil. Satan is slippery. You think you got him, and all of a sudden he pops up over here. You think you won a thing over here, and all of a sudden, boom, you're losing it over there. Man, stay alert. And then let's look at the why for a second. I love John chapter 10. Jesus says, the thief comes only to steal, kill, and destroy. Talking about Satan. Steal, kill, and destroy. I've come that they may have life and have it to the full. There's a progression here. Jesus says Satan's come to steal, first level. Steal so that he can kill. And then kill so that he can destroy. Let's say after the service today, you go out and you see somebody stealing your car. And they squeal the wheels and they go right past you. Now, you have the authority, right? You're seeking, hey, that's my car, that's my car. Who cares? Unless you carry, you know what I'm saying? They're going to go right past you. Because you might have the authority, but you don't have the power. But it gets worse than that. Not only do they steal your car, you have a little, you know, video cam on your camera or on your dash, and so you're watching. You see him drive it to the edge of a cliff, get out, and push it over the cliff. Boom! Airbags go, everything. Oh, you think, oh, he not only stole it, he totaled it. Why would you do that? And then he takes a stick of dynamite, throws it down, boom! At least you could have gotten, you know, sell it for scrap or something. No, it is totally, utterly destroyed. Satan wants to steal you, your heart, your body, your soul, your spirit. He wants to destroy your family, your society, your school, the media. He wants to take, he just doesn't want to steal it. He wants to destroy it. He wants to take you forever to be with him in hell, to be destroyed forever. He hates you. But the good shepherd, the strong shepherd, the ultimate shepherd, loves you and wants to give you not only life, but life to the full. He's like a good doctor. Oh, you got a tumor. It's pressing on your heart. I want to take that out so you can live. Wait a minute. I just don't want you to live. I'm going to give you these supplements so that you're going to feel energy like you've never felt before. I'm going to hook you up to a personal trainer who's going to help you stretch and work and feel better than you've ever done before. Wait a minute. I'm going to hook you up to a therapist, and you're going to get along better with your spouse and your kids and at work. You're even going to start liking yourself because I'm just not after your physical life. I am after life to the full in every area and dimension. Amen. Woo! Who do you want to serve? Scripture's so good, and meditating on this passage and and also on the cell phone, and how Satan has used it to steal. I thought, oh, you know, we're losing our purity. We're losing our patience. We're losing our connections to each other. And as I meditated, all of a sudden, pop, pop, that's the fruit of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace. That's what he wants to steal, because that's God's life. It just, in my devotions yesterday, Nikki Gumbel says, he asks people, you just trusted Jesus. What's happening? And they say, I just feel this incredible love. Man, I'm feeling peace. Things were dark, and now things feel light and bright. Fruit of the Spirit. So let's think about that for a second. The fruit that we're wrestling for and that Satan wants to steal, and what the cell phone can do for this. Love. You and I are made for love. You and I are made for connection. Worst punishment in prison is solitary confinement. We're not made to be alone. What does this thing do? Or can do? There's an advertisement around Christmas time by Apple. Now, that's an interesting symbol, logo, isn't it? An apple with a bite in it. I don't know. It makes me think of something. Anyway, in this advertisement, says Christmas, and they're all at grandma's house, you know, and they're having fun, except for this one teen who's constantly on his phone. And they show the different, you know, having the dinner and opening the presents, and here's that teen constantly on the phone. And you think, he's missing it. He's missing the love. Remember, Satan is a deceiver and a thief. Do you know how the advertisement ends? The teen takes his phone, hooks it up to their big screen TV, and shows the whole Christmas that he's been videoing. And the guy who was missing life, who was disconnected, became the hero. How do you feel love? Eye contact? Focused attention? A little physical touch? Since TV, since the 1950s, our attention span keeps getting lower and lower and lower. In 2007, before the iPhone, our attention span was 12 seconds. Today, it's 8. A goldfish has the attention span of 9 seconds. Now, if you feel love from attention, and I only have a 9-second attention span, guess what you're going to be feeling? Yeah, I'm listening. No, go ahead. We went on vacation. Now, vacation is supposed to be family time on steroids, right? We're waiting. And Janet got great tickets before gas prices went up. We're waiting, you know, for the plane. You know, it was like almost an hour wait. There was a couple sitting across from us. I did not see them talk to each other more than once or twice. Josh Ellison just came back from Ireland. He said, it's incredible. It's almost like Jamaica, but with everybody was nice. And the only time you saw somebody on the cell phone was when they were talking. This thing is stealing our love, folks. And we don't know how to do eye-to-eye contact, hardly. We don't know how to talk. We're uncomfortable. This is a love stealer unless you're under the authority of the love giver. Amen. Love, joy. When do you see people smiling with their phones? The only time I see them smiling with their phones as a whole is when they're talking to somebody, a real live person. But boy, when they're texting or candy crushing or answering an email, I mean, they look like a brain surgeon that only has, you know, 15 seconds left before the guy's heart stops. Like, I got it. It's a joy stealer. Our generation is more depressed, more lonely, more anxious than any other generation ever. And Satan's going, yeah. Love, joy, peace. God's in control. All is good. But I think I'm going to check the news right before I go to bed. The news is based upon making you anxious, angry. I can't believe what Joe Biden just did. Oh, there goes Trump again. Whatever, wherever you will land. I know when I first get up, I need to just get connected. I need to wake up slowly. I'm going to get on Facebook. And then you get sucked in. And then you can't believe your friend said this or the friend of the friend of the friend of the friend. And your blood is boiling. And Satan goes, yes. I end their day taking their peace. I start their day taking their peace. Unless you're under the authority of the peace giver. Love, joy, peace, patience. How does this make us impatient? I don't know. Some of you might remember this. Some years ago, if you were in love, you could write a love letter, and it would take a whole week for that letter to get there. And then a whole week for that letter to get back. Goodness sakes, you could be a romantic and only write 24 letters a year. Now, you better respond in 24 hours. No, you better respond within 8. No, you better respond in real time. And so we text, you there? We text, I sent you an email, code, what I sent you is the most important thing on this earth. You better drop everything else you're doing and at least answer my email. Puts us in the center and makes us very impatient, doesn't it? Goodness sakes, I don't have to wait anymore. I don't have to go shoe shopping, which personally I love. I don't have to go shoe shopping. I just tell Janet what I need. She orders it. And then I don't need my shoes in 24 hours, but in 24 hours I can get another pair of shoes. I don't have to wait anymore. I can call ahead. And if I forget to call ahead, if I am waiting, I get on this and I check my email, I check my text. I wonder we're getting angry. No wonder we have a hard time waiting. Unless we're under the patient Lord and Savior. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness. Uh-oh. When we're face to face, aren't we a lot kinder? But boy, when we hide behind this thing, look out. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, goodness, goodness. Think upon what is lovely, right, pure, good. And again, frontal attacks and side attacks. Facebook, how am I doing? Do people like what I said? Am I funny? It's all about you versus serving others, loving God. News, oh, it's so nasty and negative. And the more you click on whatever you click on, the more they're going to feed you. And let's talk about what, unfortunately, they say 80% of us men who go to church look at once a week at least. Pornography, guys, we're in a spiritual war. There was a time when men had to wait a whole month for the next Playboy to come. 24 women got exploited every year. And millions of men damaged their minds and weakened their marriages looking at the same images together. Now, you can look at a whole bunch more than just 24 women in just one evening in video. If the Playboy was addicting, what in the world is this? I want to say something that might be hard, the whole thing's hard to hear. If you're sucked into this, I would encourage you to take baby steps. And you tell your wife, in 6 months, I'm going to give you access to my phone. But the stuff that's on here will break your heart, and I am sorry. But I'm an addict. And we have in the notes, and it's on for the stream too, get on Covenant Eyes, get a male partner who can be your accountability partner. But you tell your wife, in 6 months, I'm giving you this thing. But one thing I can do right now is at night, which is when I'm tempted, you put this phone underneath your pillow. And I know who I am, and I'm slippery and slimy, and you take our home computer and you put a code on it that I can't get into. You with me, man? Are you willing to fight the battle? And it is. And please, if you're struggling with that, please talk to me. We got some great resources on it. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, dependability, people of our word. Oh, I'd love to help, but you know, right now I'm kind of busy. This is killing our faithfulness. I want what I want. I want it now. And so I'm going to be less likely to keep with my commitments to you. Gentleness. Oh, yeah, I'm gentle at church and when everything's going well and everything. No, gentle all the time. This is a gentleness stealer unless you're underneath the gentleness giver. And lastly, self-control. I know I should have my devotions, but right now I need to catch up. Right now I overslept. This thing, we're spending 2.5 hours a day on this thing. 2,600 touches a day on this thing. Isn't that forming us? And it's taking our self-control. And if you lose your self-control, you're going to lose love, joy, peace, patience, and the whole shot altogether, right? So what do? Turn the page. We can take action. And we take action with hope. Paul says, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. And put that together, be strong in his mighty power. He's saying God is powerful, 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 strong, 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 mighty, mighty, mighty. Yeah, this is a winnable war, folks. And I know you're going to have to take this by faith, but we're going to talk about this later. I'm going to encourage you again, take a Sabbath from this thing. Try to put it down 2 hours before you go to bed, or at least an hour before you go to bed. Try to don't pick it up until you've had your devotions. Now, I have my devotions on this thing, so it's a little bit sketchy. It's like, okay, Lord, don't answer that text. Just help me. Put it away once a week. It's amazing. This thing has so much power on you unless you, or do that. Unless you put it down, put it away, turn it off, put it in another room. And you'll be amazed how it starts pulling you less. We got the power, amen? Do this with hope. Do this with resolve. It says, be strong, be strong, be strong so many times. Put on the full armor of God twice. And the word full is the only time this word's here. It's the word panoply. The full shot. God just doesn't give us a squirt gun. He gives us a bazooka and a grenade launcher. He gives us a tank. He gives us all kinds of the full armor of God. And then stand your ground. The word stand over and over again and be alert. When the enemy's coming down and shooting at you, go, well, I don't know whether I want to hit my snooze yet or not. You jump out of bed. You get your gun. You put your boots on. We're in a battle all the time. And then do it with the full equipment of God. The helmet of salvation. We're going to get into that in a prayer time in a second. The helmet of salvation, the breastplate of righteousness, the belt of truth, the boots of the gospel, the shield of faith, the sword of the spirit. Now, as I meditate on this, Paul does a really weird order. And that's the order he gets. He starts with the belt of truth. And when you and I think of truth, where would you put the belt of truth on? You'd put it around your head, right? No, he says put it on your waist. Put it on your gut. Where you live, where you feel. And I would have started with the helmet of salvation. He said, no, let's put on the breastplate of righteousness. Be right with God and right with others from the inside out. And then I'd put on the helmet. No, he doesn't go there. And then get on the gospel shoes, the gospel boots. They're flexible. They're strong. They're protective. They help you go anywhere. So when you're in a conversation with a coworker, whoa, you're ready. Then he says, put on the helmet of salvation. And the shield of faith and the sword of the spirit. And when you think about that, our gut, our vital organs are triply protected. breastplate of righteousness, shield of faith, sword of truth, maybe even from the helmet, the thoughts that go down here. Here's some baby steps for us. Number one, repeat. Jesus is on the throne and he owns my phone. Okay? Rhymes, man. You might be able to handle that. Ready? Jesus is on the throne. He owns my phone. Say it with me. Jesus is on the throne. He owns my phone. Take authority over that thing. Are you with me? How do you take authority over it? Just have a few simple things. When I go to bed, I'm putting it away. When I wake up, I'm not going to, you know, go to it first thing. When I have a quiet time, I'm going to put it away. When I go to church. I mean, if you're streaming, thank you. But come out. You need this contact. But remember, Satan is a love stealer. And so some of us, when we come to church, oh yeah, how are you? What you're doing when you do that is you're saying, don't talk to me. Don't touch me. I'm doing something important. And what it's doing to our brains is it's saying that this distraction is more important than this person, and that this person is an interruption, and your heart is now devoted to this versus to this. When you meet with people, please, like if you go out to eat or something, just leave it in the car. It can wait. Amen. It can wait. And then I'll flee temptation. We talked about that earlier. Get covenant eyes. Get an accountability partner. Give this thing to your wife at night. And say, in 6 months, I promise you, I'm going to give you my access code, and I will be letting you look at my phone all the time. And lastly, put on the armor of God. This is a neat prayer experience we're going to do. And this is something you can do on your own, like when you get up in the morning, when you go to bed at night, when you're facing a temptation or trial. But we are on the winning side. Jesus is on the throne. And he wants to give you love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, and self-control. Let's pray together. First of all, I want you to picture... I'm sorry about this. I want you to picture Satan. He hates you. He is a dragon. He has teeth and claws and talons and a tail, and he wants to wrap you in his coils, and he wants to suck you down to hell. You can't fight him on your own. He's smarter than you. He's bigger than you. He's been at this a lot longer than you. Now, picture Jesus, the good shepherd who lays his life down for his sheep. Picture him taking your sin and mine, agonizing, writhing on the cross. Easter Sunday morning, coming out alive, crushing Satan's head. And with him are millions and millions of angels, twice as many of the demons, and they are bright and light and joyful and good. Now let's do it how we would. And he gives you the helmet of salvation. Please, if you haven't trusted in Jesus, trust in him. Or Jesus, I want to be one of yours. I want to be under your authority. See him place that helmet on your head. I even want to lift your head up a little bit. Remember when Jesus prayed, he looked up. And he is saving you. And he's saving you as the helmet did, from front of the head to the back of the head. Even protecting the sides, the temples. Hallelujah, Lord. And then see him take this shining, glistening armor and putting it on your chest, down to your waist. You're protected. It's a breastplate of righteousness. You're right with God, and he wants you to be right with others. And you're going to live from the inside out. Hallelujah. And then he gives you this strong leather belt that's thick. And he puts it around your waist. And it's truth. And you're not only going to think truth, you're going to feel truth and live truth. And then he gives you these maybe hiking boots or combat boots, work boots. They are comfortable. They are strong. They are steel-toed. They can take you anywhere. They can walk up rocks. They can go through swamps. They don't slip on the mud. They're the gospel. Jesus died. He rose again. Hallelujah. And you can share that with others wherever you go. And he gives you that shield of faith. Lord, increase our faith. By faith, we please God. By faith, we know he created all things. By faith, we know he rewards those who earnestly seek him. And Jesus died. He rose again. He's coming back. That's the truth. That's the gospel. We're protected. And then you have the sword of the Spirit in your other hand. God's word. Let it soak in. Please get into it every day. Listen to podcasts. Get it in. And also, the word of the sword is the word of the Spirit is a word sometimes also used as the Spirit's spoken word, his individual word, giving you direction in your daily life. Father, we are equipped. We are armed. Jesus is on the throne. He has authority over our phone. And all God's people said, amen, amen. Amen. If you need prayer, come on up. So, yeah, Jeff and Veronica, if you'd come up, and let's stand up and sing to our mighty God.